This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody Benjamin covers the NFL for CBS Sports. You can follow him on X on Twitter, at Cody J. Benjamin. Cody is on with us because I read Cody's column yesterday ranking the quarterbacks, the projected starting quarterbacks in the NFL, 1 through 32 post-draft. And his number one quarterback in the NFL, Jaden Daniels. So, Cody, how'd you arrive at Jaden at number one?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. You know, it's funny, we get some lulls in the NFL offseason, not many, but there are some where you don't hear a lot. I mean, there's not a ton of chatter. As soon as any quarterback power ranking goes out, emails, Twitter posts, people will even find me on LinkedIn to criticize whatever order they don't like. But with Jaden Daniels, I mean, everyone knows, I guess, you know, how magical the rookie season was. And these rankings are always a combination. It's not an exact – it's a tricky science. You know, you're trying to weigh current status with future outlook, with, you know, past experience. And I just have a hard time, you know, right now as we stand going into 2025, is Patrick Mahomes more reliable? Sure. Did Jalen Hurts just win a Super Bowl? Absolutely. You know, would I maybe rather take Joe Burrow as a pure pocket passer? Maybe, yeah. But I think you just look at the entire quarterback landscape. I think it's hard to find a quarterback who has as much promise, as much foundational support. You look at what Washington did to help him this offseason. And yes, we just saw a few, you know, last year, C.J. Stroud endured a certain sophomore slump. Daniels might not be immune to that. But right now, as we stand, I just think it's hard to find a guy who's drawing more, who's shown much, you know, more promise than he has. And I just think that the bar is set so high for him this year. People want him to he was on the doorstep of a Super Bowl in year one. And so I don't see it as that outrageous.
Yeah, not only was he, you know, 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl, the reason they were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl was him more than anything else. I mean, you'd have to count 12 spots to get to whatever number two was after him. You're right, by the way. This is what I always refer to as, you know, power rankings and list season, which, you know, a lot of that sparks a lot of fun conversation. Something you wrote that I actually wanted, I thought it was an interesting way that you put it. You wrote, you'd be hard-pressed to find an NFL team that wouldn't hurry to claim him as its quarterback of the present and future, contenders included. So let's play this game. What teams in the NFL wouldn't swap quarterbacks?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, because again, with these rankings, you're trying to kind of play both sides where It's very hard to separate these quarterbacks from their situations, right? I mean, would Jared Goff be in the top 10 if he didn't have Detroit set up? If he was with, for example, I'm just trying to think of a bottom of the barrel. If he were with the Colts or, you know, the Browns, I don't think Jared Goff would be in the top 10 probably. And so you're looking at, there's a very select few. And I think you probably see it in the top six there. So on that list, we've got in the top six, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, those are the names where I think it would be, you know, those teams, you could see it either way. You know, the Eagles, look, you know, Jalen Hurts deserves a lot of respect for, he did take a back seat for the Eagles Super Bowl run, but he answered the, you know, when he was needed, he answered. And so I don't think you can take anything away from Jalen Hurts. And Eagles fans wouldn't admit this probably after a Super Bowl win. But if you were the Eagles and you could keep everything else about the Eagles, but you could swap in Jaden Daniels for Jalen Hurts, a younger quarterback, a little more spry quarterback, a guy who has shown equal probably amount of poise at the NFL level, granted on a small sample size, I just think even that could be, you could make a case where the Eagles, if you put truth serum in their drinks, they might say, yeah, we like, if we had our choice for the long term, we might rather take Jaden Daniels. And I don't think that's crazy. Again, if after three more years we've seen a stark regression from Jaden Daniels, well, then the rankings will reflect that. But right now, I just think, yeah, maybe Burrow, Hurts, Jackson, Allen, Mahomes, those are kind of the only guys that I think would probably stand a chance in that kind of a scenario.
I think the Eagles is a no-brainer. I mean, by the way, I would imagine that some of the critique was having Jalen Hurts number two, because that was the surprise for me. Although you wrote something that I totally agree with, and that is his instincts, toughness, downfield touch, rugged mobility all show up in the clutch. That is an absolute truth with Jalen Hurts. He has played his best football in the biggest games that he's been involved in. Go back to the Super Bowl that they lost to the Chiefs. He may have been the best player on the field in that game. Yeah. But I looked at it this way. I think there are two quarterbacks and two quarterback situations in the NFL that without question teams would never decide to swap with Washington. I think Kansas City and Buffalo, Mahomes and Allen. I look at Burrow and I think they wouldn't want to do it, but his injury history might make them consider it. I look at Lamar, Cody, and I'm like, I don't know that they'd want to do it, but his postseason, you know, up and down, to say it kindly, might be, you know, a concern moving forward. By the way, some of his injury history as well. Jaden just had the most amazing season and, by the way, played his best in their biggest games. I'm not sure that any team wouldn't seriously consider it with the exception of Kansas City and Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think you hit on it a little bit that, you know, with some of these guys, you can pick and choose. You go down the list of starting quarterbacks. Some guys get their ranking because of trustworthiness. Some guys get it because of just physical gifts. You know, I think of like a Justin Herbert, where I can never quite, you know, bring myself to drop him out of the top 15 just because the numbers always look pretty good. You know, he just came off a year where he threw three picks. He's the total physical package, but yet he has no, like, you would clearly, like, already after 1 year, you clearly would give Jaden Daniels the advantage in terms of this guy's just unflappable. Like, in high pressure moments, you already trust that. And so some guys have the gifts. Some guys have that it factor. Jaden Daniels, again, 1 year, you know, we that's the preface, but he has both. And so with Lamar, you know, Lamar has been great. He has the gifts. He's shown it year after year. But that it factor, when it counts, is still an asterisk with him.
No doubt.
You know, maybe that just is a product of playing in the same conference as Patrick Mahomes. But guess what? Jaden Daniels played in the same conference as Jalen Hurts last year, as, you know, Matthew Stafford at whatever. And he ended up, like you said, close to the Super Bowl. So Yeah, I think Washington fans should just, this is the time to relish it. I mean, until Jaden Daniels shows us otherwise, and that may be, well, he's up there.
Yeah, I think your point, you know, about it's just 1 year actually works for the question, right? Like, would you swap? Because there's so much that is unrealized, and what you saw in 1 year was so unusual. Like, you know, we've talked about this since the season ended where, you know, people have said, well, look out, look at C.J. Stroud's sophomore slump year. And I'm like, the two aren't even comparable. C.J. Stroud's rookie year was a distant second to Jaden's rookie year. Like, it's hard to envision him improving or needing to improve in areas. And this isn't just Homer talk. It's just true. Like, there isn't anything he did last year where you're like, if he were to improve next year, you would say, oh, thank God he improved that. Like, he wasn't any good at doing that last year. It's hard to come up with it. You know, they've mentioned things like footwork and decision making, but yeah, it would be as much about the unrealized based on what they think he might become, which might make some teams, you know, a Cincinnati or, you know, a Green Bay with a Jordan Love, like lots of potential, but say, yeah, but this guy's going to be better. I think it's an interesting way to look at it. But so where was the pushback primarily from people on your list?
Oh, I mean, you name it. Not many. You never get the "I love this list" comment. You know, never.
You mean so Washington fans weren't thrilled?
Oh, sure. I mean, but I still think it's much easier to yell loudly about something you're unhappy about. So yeah. I think, you know, always with the rookies and, you know, guys who haven't played a down like J.J. McCarthy. I mean, you know, that's going to get some pushback because. Yes, we could just throw Cam Ward at 32 because he's never played. But I just, you know, again, it's kind of that as we sit here right now, would I rather bet on the unknown of Cam Ward or the known of Joe Flacco? Like, I'm going to take Cam Ward in that scenario. And so there's a little pushback about having, you know, J.J. McCarthy ahead of Bryce Young. I think the Burrow, the Lamar, there's a constant debate amongst, you know, the Ravens, Bills, Bengals fans about how those three kind of stack up. And even though at the end of the day, they all fall short to Mahomes when it counts, I think there's constantly some bickering kind of about, well, you know, Lamar should be ahead of Burrow. He beat him in the regular season and all that. So in my mind, yes, obviously these rankings are meant to, you know, get people talking about where they rank. But to me, the more important thing is not so much the actual number, like you're one or you're three or you're seven. It's what group are you in? Are you in the top 10 there? Are you, because, you know, Jaden Daniels, Hurts, like those are the guys you just know are the upper echelon there. Where if you're between 17 and 25, so many of those guys are interchangeable. And so, I think you could, any city who wasn't number one is pushing back.
You know, I think we have these conversations every year, you know, sometimes during the season, you know, the quarterback tiers or, you know, the rankings. And, you know, I think there have been years recently where the list has been much deeper, but we had a lot of retirements, whether it was, you know, Brady or Rivers or, you know, Breeze, you know, in the last 5-6 years, we've had some retirements of all-time greats. We've had Aaron Rodgers kind of take a step back. I'll ask you about that in a moment. But I think that now the conversation of like the top five or six is like, you know, I think you, I don't know that I actually think Jalen Hurts at times is very underrated. I don't know that I'd put him in that elite category, but I think, you know, Mahomes and Allen and Jackson and Burrow and Jaden are in that category. And then it's like there's a lot of in the next 10. You know, there you could go with almost anything. I think so. I think the position. I guess the question, because I'm just rambling here. The question is, do you think the position is deep compared to previous years?
Well, I think that you're onto something with. There is that group of guys that are they're kind of just transcendent talents, and it's very hard to find them. Everyone's trying. Right. But, you know, the Jaden Daniels, the guys who just can do things that not others can do and are probably going to elevate any team they're on. And even that is, that's only to a degree because, I put in Joe Burrow's blurb, you know, the last 2 years of his starts, they're just 14 and 13. And right. So that's a top three quarterback, according to that ranking. And yet, you know, we should see with the Eagles run this last year, too, that you could even have an elite quarterback, whatever you want to call Jalen Hurts, a really good quarterback, a championship, you know, a clutch quarterback. You could have that. But, I think that we've also seen in the Joe Burrow record, in the Super Bowl run by the Eagles, it isn't always all about the quarterback either. Like, we love to have these conversations. It's much easier path to a Super Bowl win with an elite quarterback, a transcendent talent. But you also, like, it's a team sport. We have to always remind ourselves of that every single year. So much of this comes down to supporting cast. Look at those top teams, Washington, Philadelphia on the quarterback rankings list, Cincy, Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, the Rams, the Packers. I mean, most of those teams have playoff caliber supporting casts, playoff caliber head coaches. So that it's obviously a package deal. As far as, you know, you're saying is it deeper? I just think it's kind of a pick your poison. What kind of a quarterback do you want? You know, after that first tier, you know, Jared Goff, he's not going to move with his legs. If you prefer a pure old school pocket passer, that's your guy. Brock Purdy, if you want a point guard who can move a little bit more, that's him. Baker Mayfield, you want a quarterback who's going to truck a linebacker in the open field? That's your guy. I think it's kind of a pick your poison in terms of who matches well with your coordinator, with your talent, with the direction of your team.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way you're thinking about it because we've had so many of these same conversations. You know, like you can look at, okay, the Super Bowl winners, you know, other than Foles, you know, it's been Brady, it's been Mahomes. You had Stafford, who was an elite quarterback, certainly that year. And then, you know, you can debate Jalen Hurts. But I think what I've kind of settled on, Cody, in recent years is that having that truly elite, transcendent, you know, however you want to describe, top five-ish kind of a quarterback, the thing that it guarantees more than anything else isn't necessarily a Super Bowl. It just guarantees that as long as that player's upright and healthy, you are going to be a sustained contender year in and year out. You know, even Cincinnati, you look at the Burrow thing, they didn't make the postseason last year. They were still a 9-8 football team. Like, with elite quarterback play, you are in contention to make it to the postseason, to win more games than you lose. And that's the best way to get into that position more than any other way.
Yes, and I think, you know, this conversation is very nuanced because you also, right, like, you want that kind of a quarterback, but you also don't want to throw him into Cleveland, for example. That's just not going to be great for their development. They're not going to have the weapons they need, the coaching perhaps. But yes, I think you're also highlighting, let's acknowledge first, it's a team sport. You need more than the quarterback. But now, when it comes to the quarterback position, when it comes to deciding, are we going to extend this guy or are we going to reset? A lot of teams, you look at the middle of this group, guys like Geno Smith, you know, Dak Prescott, you know, your Kirk Cousins of previous years, maybe Tua, Sam Darnold, these guys that just float in the middle. With those organizations that are paying those guys, they're in that weird space of, yeah, would it have been better to just basically risk our job security, say, we're not going to pay big money to this. We're going to, you know, try and tear it down. I mean, sometimes you look at these teams that hit, you know, Washington, the Eagles, even when they drafted Jalen Hurts, they still had Carson Wentz. I mean, and they had to rebuild the whole thing. Now I'm rambling, but what I mean is that sometimes it's better to take the lumps and restart that, you know, swing at quarterback rather than just keep settling. You know, I think of like Derek Carr with the Saints, to a degree, yeah, the Cowboys, like these teams that they get content with just hovering around the wild card picture. And in a way it kind of keeps the fans engaged because you're always kind of in the mix, But no one really believes that those guys are talented enough to really take you over the top. And so it's a tough business to get it right.
That's such, you know, and you brought up somebody who my listeners know that I know well and I'm a fan of, but you're right in that, you know, what Minnesota did with Cousins all those years, paying him elite money, prevented them from putting a really good, consistent, deep team around him. Now, I don't think he was middle of the pack. I think he was closer to kind of top 10, but he was not elite. He wasn't, you know, Burrow. He wasn't Josh Allen. He wasn't Mahomes. He wasn't Jaden Daniels. And that's a decision that teams have to make. And look, the great thing that Washington's involved in now is, A, they know they have a guy that they will be willingly pay, but they don't have to do it yet. You know, this may be the ultimate rookie contract situation in NFL history, to have somebody appear to be elite this quickly. Like, I don't know that Mahomes, clearly in year two, we know what he looked like. But I don't think anybody's ever looked this good this quickly where you're sure you got him. You got the right guy.
Yeah, because you're right. Mahomes was year two. Even like Josh Allen.
Right,
that was,
took a couple years.
Yeah, we're talking like 3 years in before he looked like worthy of a contract. Burrow had a big injury. I think it is the most ideal where you hit the ball out of the park immediately with the rookie deal. And it looked that way for CJ Stroud in Houston. And that's kind of when they went all in, I guess you could say all in. They added Stephon Diggs last offseason. It looked as if they were making all the right moves. Unfortunately, the injuries took their toll out wide. The trenches didn't hold up, and he regressed. But yeah, I think in Minnesota's case, you mentioned with Kirk Cousins, by the time they had actually poured enough resources into building up that supporting cast with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, well, now he's past his mid 30s, tears his Achilles. It's too late. You had to move on. You had to say, okay, we can't keep settling for this good enough. We can't. We have to roll the dice, take a flyer on a free agent, take a flyer on moving up and drafting a quarterback. And so, now they're hoping, obviously, they can hit with McCarthy.
Yeah. Although, this is my nature when it comes to him. When he tore his Achilles, I think that was the best football he had played in his career and on the best team in supporting cast because they finally had a defense. But we'll move on from him. So I am curious as to, we're talking to Cody Benjamin, by the way, from CBS Sports. Go read his top 32 quarterback power rankings where he's got Jaden number one. There are some major question marks here, not necessarily with contenders, but what is going to happen in Pittsburgh? Is Aaron Rodgers going to sign there or not?
Well, they sure hope so. Publicly, they have put themselves in such a corner. This is the polar opposite of last offseason when the Steelers, historically over the last few decades, they're not offseason, free agent trade. They don't make splashes there. And last offseason, I was surprised even how proactive they were in resetting the quarterback room, trading Kenny Pickett after just a couple years. Add Russ, add Justin Fields. Those were cheap moves, but they were moves. This offseason, it's sit on our hands and, pretend Mason Rudolph is going to be taking over for, as Mike Tomlin enters this, I don't know that he's actually under pressure by the front office, but from the fans, certainly. To be sitting here in, almost mid-May, and we've got Mason Rudolph, a sixth-round rookie, at quarterback, to me, the Steelers may pretend that this is some – maybe they do have something crazy up their sleeve. I doubt it. To me, it reads more like an accidental mishap here. And so it's kind of you're putting all your chips on a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers who may or may not be all in on playing football. And so maybe he still shows up. I have a hard time believing they had those conversations and didn't get some inclination about what he's going to do, because otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah, I read something recently that everybody in the building just loves Mason Rudolph. Well, everybody in the building loved Taylor Heinicke, you know,
yeah,
here.
Exactly.
I mean, that's essentially the equivalent. Rudolph's played better, more consistently, and had, I think, more starts. I don't know if that's true or not. It feels like it is. But they can't win with Mason Rudolph. It has to be Rodgers.
I mean, that's a talking point you'll hear from any team about any guy who's just plugged in as the de facto starter in May. I mean, come October 12th, you know, if you're sitting under 500 and the picks are, you know, you're throwing as many picks as touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, does everyone love Mason Rudolph in the building then? I mean, I'm not, you know, no discredit to his character or whatever. I mean, he showed he was the most competent of their quarterbacks a few years ago, but that's not a high bar. I think they have to say that because, well, you trade for DK Metcalf, you bring Mike Tomlin back, you know, you make these moves as if you're going to be something this year. No one else is on the roster. What else are they going to imagine if they said, we don't like Mason Rudolph, you know?
Point taken. What about New York? Do you think they moved up and back into the first round to select Jackson Dart because Brian Daboll thinks there's a chance he could start day one?
I would be surprised. I mean, I think, yes, Brian Daboll, I think it's been reported and it seems pretty clear that he was the driving force for that decision. And stylistically, it makes sense. If you look at Jackson Dart, you just throw on some highlights. You know, I see some just from the physical build and the way he moves and throws. I see some Jalen Hurts, you know, some shades of that style. And that makes sense for Brian Daboll. Remember, his best year with the Giants, he kind of turned Daniel Jones into
a
guy who just kind of moved and protected the ball, which is what Jalen Hurts did, you know, for the Eagles. And so as far as day one, though, you know, I think there's still enough pressure to win this year that you try and squeeze whatever juice is left out of Russell Wilson, because theoretically, even though he can't move as well, you know, the ability previously to roll out, take a shot deep, get neighbors involved, I still think it's Russ. Unless we get another random August calf injury, then maybe you do put Dart in instead of Jameis Winston.
Really good job. I really appreciate the conversation. Go read Cody. He just put a list of the top 10 wide receiver duos out, but you can follow him and read all of his stuff by going to his Twitter X account, Cody J. Benjamin. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. I'll have to keep ranking the Commanders number one, and then we have some fun conversations then.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get into this wide receiver list probably tomorrow, but thanks, Cody. Okay.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Yeah, list and ranking season for sure. Tim Legler is going to jump on the show. We'll talk some NBA playoffs with Legs next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.